Thank you very much, ladies. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 69. Lord willing, we'll wrap this up this evening. Unless we go to heaven, and then that'll be okay. I'm not going to lie. It's improper to lie while you're in the pulpit anyway. So we're going to read the entire psalm this morning. If you can make it, that's great. If you cannot, feel free to be seated at any point. But I think I want to, we need to try to tie the thoughts here together as we come to a conclusion. So the Bible says, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am troubled. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seals, and everything that moveth therein. It's just the way I read. When I make a mistake in my brain, I do that. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, they that may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please add your blessing to the reading of your word. God, give us insight, understanding, clarity in preaching and proclaiming the truth. You alone deserve praise and honor. God, you've given us such a great look at how David dealt with despair in his life. Deep, dark, oppressive despair that it seemed like there was no deliverance from. And yet, we see here, and he teaches us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God how to cry out, how to make known, how to admit, how to seek you, and then to how to praise you. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who is not saved, they don't know if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray that they would understand that despair is only dealt with and you're only delivered from the deepest despair, which is our sin, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray they would hear that truth today and understand it. For those of us who are saved and struggling even in this present world, I pray you teach us once again from your word. Help us to glean truths. God, help us to put them to practice in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verses 1 through 5, we looked out at crying out to the right comforter. And then in verses 6 through 12, we looked at admitting that our help, that the help that is needed so that others can see it. That help is needed so others can see the help, not the trouble. And then we saw also that prayer is an attitude of manipulation, is not an attitude of manipulation, but it is an attitude of a relationship. It's an extension of a relationship in verses 13 through 18. And then in verses 19 through 36, we saw that God needs to know, or we need to surrender to the process of going through this despair. Again, ultimately, everybody wants despair to go away, and that's what we say. I just want it to go away. But God has given us this entire psalm and many psalms that deal with David in deep, dark despair. And in this one specifically, it's the second most quoted psalm in the New Testament. And most of the quotations are about Jesus or from Jesus' own mouth. And so the Bible must consider, and God must consider in us, that we have a propensity to go to despair rather than going to God. And it's something, as I've said in all the previous messages, if you're not experiencing it now, you either have or you will. Because there are bad things that happen on this planet. And there are bad people on this planet that want to cause despair in you. Why? Well, anybody can be used by Satan. And so even in this setting, someone here could have put you in despair. Or maybe someone in the church has put you in despair. What do you do with it? Is it okay to hang on to it and get angrier and angrier and angrier? No, it's not. Although many people, the world would say, I'm holding on to my anger. It makes me who I am. Well, it always makes you a very bad person. Because when you're angry with someone that you're barely related to, or you're not related to, you'll get angry with other people when they treat you poorly. And this is exactly where we will find ourselves here this morning, beginning in verse number 22, we're going to look at this thought that our desired retribution, so what we think somebody deserves because of the way they've treated us, is not the solution to our despair. You'll see why that's the case here. So first of all, let me say this. The verses in verse 22 down through verse number 28 all deal with things that God said that he would do to those who do not respond to his plan. Even Jesus will use these words in conjunction with those who do not believe in him as Savior. So these are promised consequences for disobeying God's plan. Every time You disobey, you have to pay. That's it. Now, for the believer, and we're going to see this in this section, that for the believer, even when the believer strays away from God's plan, there are repercussions. And it usually ends up with the person feeling as if they are in despair. And again, if you're young, you know, I have never been in despair. I'm just telling you, young people in churches are committing suicide at an alarming rate. Young people are. And it's not because they're being pushed to do something they don't want to do. It's because there's a turmoil in them that turns into despair. There are many people that commit suicide across the Christian realm, the so-called Christian realm. Do you know we're supposed to have hope in Jesus Christ? If we get to the point in our lives that we feel like we have no hope, then we're missing something in Jesus Christ that He came to give us, and He said more abundantly. So one of the things that we often do, because we live in a I'm going to get you back society, and vengeance is mine, I will repay, the Lord said so, so I'm going to get you back. Because we live in a society like that, all the movies that come out, I have these places of retribution. So occasionally we get this idea that if God doesn't treat this person this way, then my despair's not going to go away. Until I see what I desire happen in this person, I am not giving up on my despair. And what happens to them in these verses is not about you. It's about God. It's about what God has promised. And it is about, when we get to the end of it, reconciliation between you and the person that does you wrong. Now you go, well, how can that happen? Well, verse number 22 says this: let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Verse number 23, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. These verses are used, let's go to Romans chapter number 11. And you and I will see here, I think, by the time we get done with this, why this is not about us. So Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 9. 11, there it is. Verse number 9 says, and David saith. So let's go back up. Let's go back up to verse number 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, when he's talking to Elijah about being alone, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, and unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So you can see immediately that these verses that are used here are verses of prophecy concerning those who would ignore God's plan in Jesus Christ. And so when you start there and you go to the Old Testament and you tie it there, here's the first thing you can say. And people say this about the Psalms. If you've ever spoken to someone about the Psalms that doesn't know what the Psalms are about, they often say this: well, David prayed that his enemies would die. Well, David prayed for retribution on his enemies. Well, David prayed, can I pray that people will die? The disciples that were walking with Jesus, what did they want to do? Call down fire from heaven and take the entire village out. And Jesus said to them, ye know not of what spirit ye are. You don't know what you're talking about here. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Christian, listen to me. Jesus has the right to pray this because he lived a righteous life. Well, I'll tell you that this has crept into churches so viciously that there's no room for forgiveness anymore. Well, you don't know. No, I look, I've held on to being wronged in church. I've held on to it. I held on to things that happened in my life. And I'm telling you, until you let it go, you can't be what God wants you to be, no matter how old you are. You cannot hold this level of retribution. You know what you have to do? Just what David did. Now, I do believe that this is tied to something in David's life because he speaks very directly about a situation that goes on here. But I'm going to tell you what he's doing. He's saying it out loud to God, giving it over to him. As Jesus did when he hung on the cross. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. What did he do? He took all of those things and he laid them at the feet of God, who he knew would judge righteously. So this is David doing what Jesus did, even in the garden, as he knew. When he was raised up on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the element of the law being brought to bear. What this shows us very plainly is the law is unforgiving. There is no mercy in the law itself as the letter of the law. It was always the spirit of the law that God wanted the children of Israel to learn about. But here you and I see this is a correct cry. God, give them this. But that, until that is surrendered from you to God, you're just going to be bitter and angry and you're going to be in despair. Why? Rarely does anybody get exactly what they deserve. Watch. I wish we were all ladies, because I would say, ladies, get your little compact mirrors out and look in the mirror. You haven't gotten what you deserved. So ladies, get out your compact mirror and show it to your husband or children. We, because of God's mercy, have never gotten what we deserve. Don't hang on to retribution. Don't hang on to your idea, because it will not solve your despair. It's interesting, and again, I'm only relating this in books, some older movies, not now anymore, but some of the older movies, and I don't watch very many movies anyway, but many books, and I love to read books, it was often stated, the hero would often state to someone seeking revenge, listen, I don't know what you're expecting to get out of this revenge, but it's not going to solve your attitude, your problem, your heart. You're going to find that it makes you more and deeper, bitter, angry. It never solves what you want it to solve. This is a great picture for us to, again, we're going to God, who's the only one who can answer our prayer, just saying to him, God, you know what? I'm laying this in your lap. I want to lay my idea of retribution in your lap. So those first verses actually deal with the rejection of Israel against Christ. Verse 24, pour out thine indignation upon them and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. There is in this particular section of verses, there's Jesus uses this in Matthew 23 and 38, and then again it's spoken in Acts 1:20 and Luke 13:35, where Jesus is speaking about the rejection specifically of himself. So he is saying here, and we're tying this to David and Jesus, Because remember, we started this off and Spurgeon said, if you ask, is this being written of himself or of the Savior? The answer would be yes. So in some case here, he says, pour out your iniquity upon them and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. Let's just turn over to Matthew where Jesus turns around and says this in Matthew 23. In verse number 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about his triumphant entry there. He is speaking about when they see him face to face, according to Zechariah, when he touches down and they look upon him whom they pierced and they recognize that he is the Messiah. The word desolate, this is very interesting. The word desolate is used 205 times in 189 verses. 160 times it is designated to Israel for denying God's plan. When they disregard his law, when they disregard his deliverance, when they and he says to them, especially in Deuteronomy, over and over and over, if you don't do this, your land is going to be desolate. Your houses are going to be left desolate. It's primarily used in Jeremiah and Isaiah concerning how Israel will look when Nebuchadnezzar is done with it. Get this idea. The idea here is that operating outside of God's plan leaves you desolate. And here David is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and I believe in an attitude of prophecy conveying what Jesus will say or who Jesus is, and that is Jesus is God's ultimate plan for salvation. He is the ultimate plan for deliverance from despair. He is the ultimate plan for deliverance from sin. And so in that, we see him giving over to God this retribution, but using the words of Jesus as he speaks to Jerusalem, and he says this, you're already desolate because you haven't believed God's plan all along. So here's something you and I can very quickly see. If we don't surrender to God's plan, we, even as believers, can be desolate in our lives, which leads to despair. When you see what happened to the people when they go back to the land, they're not throwing parties excited about being back. For 100 years, they live in reproach. They're living in despair. Why? Because they disobeyed God. So for 190 years, they lived outside of God's plan. Why? Even after he had taken them to through Babylon and taken them through the Medes and the Persians, they're still living. Why? Because they won't surrender to God's plan. David says, fulfill your word. You could basically wrap those four verses up in that very statement. God, I am turning my desire for retribution back to you because you are the judge. You are the jury and you always judge righteously. All I'm going to do is say, do what your word says. Now, I could have gone to many verses and proven this point, but I'll just direct you to verses. All you have to do is start reading in the book of Revelation and you will see what God is going to do and how desolate lives are going to be because they denied the plan that God had set forth in Jesus Christ. Do you know that God is done with the law right now? He's dealt with that through Jesus Christ. Now his plan is Jesus Christ. Why? He's the only one who fulfilled the law. In the book of Revelation, you and I see the ultimate rejection as it progresses through the book of Revelation, as the judgments come down and the earth becomes desolate. And man is still not driven to God. God is simply keeping his word according to his plan in Jesus Christ. So when we pray and we speak to God, simply pray and say, God, do as you have promised and leave it in his hands. We live in a society, and believe it or not, I can even sense right now that people are in a disagreement. You go, how do you do that? Because you can feel just the, well, you don't know what happened to me. Look, you're not denying my plan. It's just as hard for me as it is for you. I'm not Saint Ron. And anybody who knows me knows that is absolutely the truth. Don't say anything, Twyla. Thank you. Let your women be silent in the church. But she still says nothing, but I'll hear it later. And so, because we won't be in church. It's difficult to turn over what you think should happen. It's difficult. It's not meant to be easy. Here's the example. Remember, we went through this. Jesus did it, so we can too. Why? Because he's the example. When retribution is up to me, note that he's praying. He says, God, you do this. You do this. You do this. He doesn't say, let me do it. He says, God, you do it. You do it. You take care of it. You know what it does? When you depend on God to do it, it puts a smile on your face because you're no more concerned. Look, that person says something to you. Yeah. That comes from you not leaving it in God's hands. Period. Well, you don't know the pain. No, you're right. I don't know most of the pain. I don't know the pain that many people in this room have been through. I don't. God does. I don't, but he can be touched by our infirmities. Why? Because he lived on this planet. He knows the evil. He was perfect while he lived here and rubbed shoulders with evil every day. And your solution to the problem, so let me give you one of the solutions because it just keeps popping in my mind, so evidently I'm supposed to say it. Well, I give them a piece of my mind. And the question can always be asked, and what was gained by that? Well, I got it off my chest. So it is all about you. David is making this very much God's burden, not his own. That's what Jesus did in the garden. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And you go, well, why is that so? Why are you so drawn to that? Because if David could do it without the Holy Spirit, without the example of Jesus Christ, then we are compelled to do it. Now, please listen to me. This is not, I fully trust the person. No. This is talking about you and your attitude about what God can do as opposed to what you want to see done. Look at these last verses here. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Well, that tells us right there that this is prophetical. It also tells us that David was evidently in a situation where he believed that he was receiving the punishment of God. He was being chastised. They're piling on, is what it says. And they talked to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Those, Jesus said, Woe unto the man that betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better that he had not been born. The Bible tells us there are people in the world that hear the truth. They hear the truth. They enjoy part of the truth in 1 John. They enjoy the blessings of the truth, but they never really believe the truth. In other words, they're people that go to church all the time, and they sit under the preaching, and they see what God does, and they know that it can't be something that's being done by man, and they observe, and yet they never receive. This is talking about the down to the nitty-gritty of accepting God's plan or completely denying God's plan. And in Christ, they denied him completely. So here's what God said he would do. He would write them out of the book of life. Now, where have you seen this before? Well, one of the people that talked about the book of life is Moses. And his position was, God, write me out of the book of life and restore them. What does David want to see? Exactly the opposite. So what is he doing with it? He's saying, but God, this is what you're going to have to do. I have no power to do this. And I'm not going to sit around and stew about it. I'm going to leave it in your hands. If I ask for a show of hands in here this morning, how many of you have been wronged in some way in your life so egregiously that for a time you were in a dark place, just dark? I would say probably more than 80% in here would raise their hand. The other 20 would not admit it. Some of the little kids don't have any idea. But if 80% of us have had that, what is it that brought you out of the despair? Was it that the person got? So they say time heals all wounds. I'm telling you, time doesn't heal wounds that you won't let heal. And we have a lot of Christians today, many, many, more than we ever should have, that will not let go because they're waiting for some kind of, that person deserves. Let's stop and just evaluate. God knows what that person deserves, but he also knows what you deserve and what I deserve. Is it okay to pray to God that way? Absolutely. You bet. Is it okay for you to spread it around and tell people what you think ought to happen? Absolutely not. Why? Because you're not God and neither am I. Well, this is what I want to see. Go watch an Indiana Jones movie. You can see it. Why would I don't know what to do. Throw it on the Lord. It doesn't matter what the wrong is. Look, this is hard stuff. This is where following God's word and his plan in Jesus Christ, where the rubber meets the road. This is being able to throw this on God so much that the product of it is forgiveness, release for you, and the ability to praise God. And we struggle with that. And yet Jesus Christ did that. David did it. And he didn't have the completed word of God like we do. David cast all of this thinking on God. Remember when we started this move, whenever we started studying in Psalms, the Psalms are full of the rawest emotion in the Bible, in man. These are personal things that God allowed these men to write, exposing their heart to God. You see a variety of emotions in the Psalms. This psalm deals directly, on purpose, with deep, dark despair. How am I delivered from deep, dark despair? I have to admit that God is the only one to cry out to. I have to admit that. I have to admit that sometimes the answer God gives me in my despair is for others, according to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. They need to see the comfort. They need to hear that more than they need to hear about the problem. It needs to be something that we admit to God, that our very internal feelings are raw, and God wants to hear them. He cares about what is going on in our lives, that prayer is an attitude, not a tool of manipulation. This is the life that we want to give you, God. And then that our desired retribution is not going to solve any of our despair. Well, I'm mad, and you're right. I don't understand. That's why you see here in very real form David doing what we need to do, and that's casting all these thoughts. God, this is what your word says. This is what you say will happen. I'm leaving that up to you, because ultimately when God does it and you don't, God gets glory. When you and I do it, it usually ends up in jail time. That's the result. And we deserve it because we take it into our own hands. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.